All right, we're ready. As soon as we're ready with the sound. Yeah. You good? Good morning and welcome to the California Coastal Commission meeting of May 9th here in beautiful Marina Del Rey. Could we get the clerk to call the roll, please?
Commissioner Ashajian.
Very happy to be here.
Commissioner Hueso.
Here.
Commissioner Riley.
Here.
Commissioner Potter.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Vice Chair Neely.
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right. Let's go to staff, and we start with Central Coast.
Well, we'll go through the changes on the agenda.
Oh, let's go through the changes on the agenda first.
And announcements.
Yes, that's right.
Good morning, commissioners, members of the public. Today I would like to go over the changes to the agenda first, and then also for those of you who are here today to speak to the commission, you do need to fill out a speaker slip, which you can find in the room outside the hearing room here, and indicate which item you wish to speak to and whether you're in support or in opposition to the staff recommendation. In addition, if you have a cell phone, could you please turn it off or put it into a quiet mode so that it doesn't interrupt the hearing. The changes for today, commissioners, on page 16, item 8A, we're recommending be moved to consent. That's the City of Pacifica repair and maintenance of an existing revetment. On page 17, items 11G and 12A are postponed. That's an affordable housing ordinance in Carmel and the Brett appeal. Also on page 17, items 12B and 12C are postponed. Those are the applications for lot line adjustments in Big Sur. On page 19, item 18A is being recommended moved to consent, the Humboldt County Reclamation District application. And on page, in your addendum, on item 17B, Caltrans in 18B. Humboldt County is postponed.
Not 17B, that's right.
Madam Chair, the commission, as you know, trailed one report from statewide, and that was the Attorney General's report, and I would ask that we hear that before we begin with the other items on the agenda.
All right. Jamie?
Yes, Commissioner, through the chair, I'm pleased to have three items to report on today. Let me take the last first because it's probably one of the most exciting. Just last night, we received word that the Court of Appeal in the Pratt versus California Coastal Commission case had affirmed the commission's denial of a permit for a subdivision in San Luis Obispo. In this published decision, the court found that the commission properly denied the permit. There was no taking. The LCP designation of sensitive habitat was properly characterized as ESHA by the commission. The commission's denial based on lack of water was entirely appropriate. And the LCP is a state delegated form of law, and state policies prevail over local concerns. Very nicely worded decision.
Congratulations.
Also, yes. John Sorenman in our LA office handled that case. I'm sorry, Peter? It is published, yes. The other two cases are unpublished, and that is Roth versus California Coastal Commission. Here, plaintiff had sought to rescind a vertical access easement in the Carbon Beach area of Malibu. The commission had required the access as a condition of a permit in 1985. The plaintiff owned the adjacent property and sought to have the access rescinded. The Court of Appeal held in an unpublished decision that the commission properly rejected that effort. In North Pacifica versus Coastal Commission, petitioner had sought a writ of mandate to prevent the commission from holding a hearing on the appealability of the City of Pacifica's approval of a permit for petitioner's development. The Court of Appeal upheld the commission's action in that case as well, also an unpublished decision.
All right.
And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you. Great work. Let's go back to staff then on the Central Coast.
Thank you. The first item for the Central Coast today is an administrative permit application, an administrative permit. This is for the removal of riprap and repair and construction of a 2-foot-wide cutoff stem wall for an existing revetment and seawall in Santa Cruz County. And we have attached a number of special conditions to the administrative permit to address various issues, including drainage and erosion and restoration of the bluff face, and mitigations for visual impacts. And so unless three or more commissioners would like to pull this from the administrative calendar, that would be effective.
Commissioners, any commissioners object? Then the commission concurs.
Thank you. Similarly, for the North Central Coast District, we also have an administrative permit on your agenda, and this is for the removal of unpermitted fill, including riprap and construction debris, along the bluff and beach, removal of a concrete pad, and request to temporarily stockpile the natural removed riprap on the subject property. This is the Michelson application in Princeton by the Sea in San Mateo County, and as this is a restoration project and a removal of a violation, we are recommending that the commission approve this administrative permit.
Okay, we do have a slip from Chris Michelson. Was it your intent just to concur with the staff recommendation, or do you wish to speak? Okay. Okay. Are there any objections from the commission?
Chair.
Yes?
Madam Chair, I spoke with the applicant here. He had intended to make some comments. He's removing the violation here and cleaning that up, but he does have some issues about protecting the edge there of the property. And we have some issues about long-term planning for it, but we will discuss it with him and see if we can't find a resolution. And I told him I would mention this to you.
All right. Thank you. So if there are no objections from the commission concurs.
That brings us to the North Central Coast Deputy Director's report. And I have one de minimis waiver to report to you. That's for the Bodega Marine Laboratory and installing a observation tower for climate observations. And I'm not aware of any objections to that proposed waiver.
All right. Any objections from commissioners? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
For the consent calendar in North Central Coast District, a moment ago I mentioned we were recommending that item 8A, the Pacifica repair and maintenance of a revetment, be moved to the consent calendar. The city is in agreement with the special conditions attached, and I believe they're here today if necessary or any questions are needed to be addressed.
Okay. We have no speaker slips. Do we have any ex partes on the consent calendar? Seeing none, do we have a motion? Moved by Commissioner Hueso, seconded by Commissioner Kajian, that we approve the consent calendar. Are there any objections to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the item is approved.
The next item is a new appeal in Sonoma County, and I do have a PowerPoint presentation for this. So item 7A is a new appeal in Sonoma County. This is an appeal by Brian Hines of a county approval of the construction of a 1,208-square-foot single-family residence with a 400-square-foot detached garage, as well as the reduction of a riparian corridor setback from 100 feet to 50 feet. The appellant has made two essential contentions in the appeal. One, that the reduction in the riparian setback is not consistent with the LCP, and second, that the approval of the structure at 19 feet is not consistent with the LCP. Overall, staff is recommending that the project does not raise a substantial issue, and I will go through some of those issues here. This is an aerial photo of the area, the Serena Del Mar subdivision north of Bodega Bay in Sonoma County is here. The project site is indicated here in white outline, a single-family residential lot, and here is the riparian corridor. The ocean is over here. You can see a little bit of the beach here, and the riparian corridor heading inland. This is a view of the property from the street towards the riparian corridor. You can see that it's grassland. There are no significant habitats on the parcel itself other than the riparian corridor vegetation at the back of the parcel. This is a view looking across the parcel towards the ocean. You can see an existing house to the west of the proposed site. These are stakes indicating where the edge of the development would be. This is a view across the project site looking to the east, the riparian corridor on the left here, and another house several lots to the east. Looking closer at the site, you can see that the development site is about 180 feet on one side or so, and is adjacent to this riparian corridor. Most of this subdivision has been built out over the years, and this is an infill project overall from the standpoint of the subdivision. The basis of the county's approval in terms of varying the riparian setback was due to a number of constraints that are on the property, and this is an exhibit in your staff report as well. This is a site plan of the proposed development showing the 1,200 square foot structure approximately with the garage. The riparian corridor is over here, and a 50-foot setback has been indicated on the plan here, outside of which the development would be located. Some of the significant constraints include a required 50-foot setback in the original recorded subdivision plat map here, which precludes placing any development in this portion of the property. The development also requires a septic system, which is indicated here, which has been downsized somewhat already, but because of the requirements of the septic system in leach field, the substantial part of the property is constrained. Coupled with required front and side yard setbacks has left a development envelope in here, and so the county made the determination that a variance at the setback was appropriate given these site constraints. In terms of the appellant's claims about consistency with the LCP does have a strong riparian setback policy that requires 100 feet buffer from riparian areas. However, the LCP also includes in the implementation plan the ability to reduce that buffer if the applicant can show that 100 feet is not necessary to protect the riparian resources at issue. In your staff report, beginning on page 10, is a discussion of seven factors that the county can use under its LCP to make that sort of determination, and that includes considering the biological significance of adjacent lands, the sensitivity of particular species that may be present, susceptibility of the parcel to erosion, topographic features, existing cultural features, lot configuration and location of existing development, and the type and scale of the development proposed. In its approval of this project, the county did go through each of these factors and made a determination that based on those factors, a reduction in the setback was appropriate to 50 feet. We've reviewed that analysis and concur with the county at this point that no substantial issue is raised by that analysis. In particular, there are no sensitive species on this site, and the Department of Fish and Game has also evaluated the setback in this case with respect to this specific riparian resource and concluded that 50 feet would be adequate to protect the resources. There are no fish species, for example, in this riparian area. Finally, with respect to the visual issue, the county did approve a structure that is up to 19 feet. The LCP has a general 16-foot height requirement. However, it also allows the raising of that limit above 16 feet if there's an approval by the Architectural Design Review Committee. In this case, the county required that the applicant secure that approval. Otherwise, the project would have to remain at 16 feet, as required generally by the LCP. Therefore, we're concluding that that issue also does not raise a substantial issue. And that would conclude the staff presentation at this time.
Thank you, staff. Let me look to my left to see if we have any ex parte communications. To the right.
I had a letter from Maggie Breyer, who lives in Serena Del Mar and is the local representative for ORCA, objecting to the board decision and asking that substantial issue be found in this situation.
Okay. Let me open the public hearing and announce that we have one speaker, Brian Hines. I believe Mr. Hines is the appellant. We'd welcome you to give your testimony at this time, and you have 3 minutes. Could you state your name for the record? And I guess your mic isn't on, actually.
Okay. Is that okay? Great. Well, my name is Brian Hines. I live at 1468 Funston Drive in Santa Rosa, California. And I own the property adjacent to the Star property at 221 Los Santos. I think you should make a finding that there is a substantial issue here. And I submitted a letter on May 5th, which described the reasons for that. And I don't think I can get through this in 3 minutes, but I'd like to summarize it for you. I come by my interest in riparian zones, honestly. I have an education from University of California at Santa Barbara in environmental studies, and have been involved with Trout Unlimited for the last 15 years, working on wild trout and salmon restoration, and riparian issues figure pretty prominently in that. I serve on the Redwood Empire Chapter Board of Directors of Trout Unlimited, and Secretary of the State Council, and also served on the National Resources Board as one of the two representatives from California. Also serve on the Board of Directors of Russian River Keeper, and am one of the founding members of the Russian River Watershed Council. I have a graphic I'd like to show, which shows the property. It's the one that we saw before that the staff showed.
Is that your graphic?
Yes, and I think it's the site plan is the one I was looking for, the first of the three. Yeah, this is a site plan that we submitted with our May 5th letter that shows why we think that a takings decision was not appropriate in this case. This is the home that you saw before, and the 50-foot setback is about here. The 100-foot setback required in the local coastal plan is back here where this green line is. And so what we've done is we've shown the amount of area that's available to build this home outside of the 100-foot riparian setback area. And we calculated it to be about 4,183 square feet, more than enough to build the house that's proposed here. So we would find that there's no issue of a taking here as found by the Board of Supervisors. So what we'd like to recommend here is that this coastal commission or this coastal permit be denied, or else you reschedule this hearing for a meeting in Marin County where it wouldn't be such a hardship for people from the Sonoma Coast to come and participate. We share this opinion about the setback with the Sonoma County planning staff that recommended at the BZA hearing that the house be redesigned to be farther back out of the riparian zone. The Coastal Commission staff at that meeting also, in their verbal comments, said that the house could be redesigned to be 100 feet back from the riparian zone. The Architectural Control Committee also thinks the house should be redesigned to be out of the 100-foot riparian zone. And 18 residents of the community have written letters that also agree that the house should be moved back out of the riparian zone. That's a pretty significant amount of public comment, I think. We don't think the supervisors had all the facts necessary to make the decision that they did because they didn't do a simple alternatives analysis in this case. We've done one, showed that there's 4,000 square feet available to build this house, and based on that information, I think it's pretty obvious that takings finding wasn't appropriate.
Okay, and your time is up, Mr. Hines.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That's the only speaker, so we'll close the public hearing and go back to staff.
Okay. Thank you. Just a couple clarifications. I don't believe that the Coastal Commission staff spoke at the local hearing on this matter, contrary to what the appellant had stated. We have been tracking this item, and we are reviewing it now in this appeal determination. And as I mentioned in the presentation, we did review the requirements of the LCP, including these seven specific factors which speak to the ability of the county to vary the 100-foot setback or not. And based on their analysis, which did go into each of the factors, several of which were not directly applicable to this project, we've concluded that no substantial issues raised by that decision to vary the setback. And in particular, there are no sensitive species at issue here. The riparian corridor is not one that supports fish resources or other sensitive habitat. There's a 50-foot buffer of coyote brush immediately adjacent to the riparian vegetation between where this development would be sited and where the riparian resources actually are. And again, Fish and Game has reviewed this and concurred with the determination of the county. So based on those factors, we're not concluding that there is an issue raised. And finally, this isn't a question of comparing this project with another project that may have been under review or decided by the county. We have not reviewed the appellant's project. This commission has not reviewed that project. We're looking at this project on appeal.
All right. Thank you, staff. I'll bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Juan has a question. No? All right. Commissioner Riley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move commission to determine that appeal number A-2-SON-08-010 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act. Ask for a yes vote.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Riley, second by Commissioner Kajian. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. A passage of this motion will result in a finding of no substantial issue and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Do you wish to speak to your motion?
This is a very modest home and a very constrained lot, and there was substantial evaluation that went through looking at all the factors relative to whether it qualified for a setback and prior to the decision being made. So I think staff's analysis is correct here.
All right. Commissioner Kajian?
I concur with Commissioner Royalist's comments.
All right. Thank you. Are there any objections to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby finds that appeal number A-2-SON-08-010 does not present a substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act. Thank you.
That would bring us to the Central Coast District. Item 8A was approved on the consent calendar. With respect to the Central Coast District, I do have four waivers and one immaterial amendment to report today, and I'm not aware of any objections to those minor items.
All right. On item 9,
That's item 9, the district director's report.
Okay. We don't have anything then. Any objections? No? Okay. We concur. Consent calendar?
Before going to the consent calendar, I did want to give you a brief update on staff conversations and dialogue with the Pebble Beach Company and Del Monte Forest. And briefly, just to point out that we've had a number of meetings now with representatives from the Pebble Beach Company over the last 9 months or so, five or six meetings, both in Pebble Beach and at our offices in Santa Cruz. We've also done a number of site visits, both with Pebble Beach representatives and with our biologist in the field to reevaluate some of the Escher resources and constraints in the Del Monte Forest. And at this point, I'd say we've been making significant progress through those conversations with the Pebble Beach Company, working to identify alternatives to their original proposal that this commission indirectly reviewed through their submittal of the Measure A LCP amendment last June. And the premise of these meetings and the field work has been to start with the baseline of the resource constraints that were identified in that staff recommendation that was adopted by the commission last June, and work towards identifying alternatives that would provide a reasonable development alternative, including significant visitor-serving development and residential development, while respecting the sensitive resources that have been identified in Del Monte Forest. So I just wanted to give you that update. We are going to continue those meetings, including another one this coming Monday, and are attempting to funnel down with more specific information as we go through that to reach a balance there between the various interests that are operating.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions from the commission regarding the report? Okay, seeing none, let's move on.
There are no consent calendar items, which brings us to item 11A. This is a time extension recommendation for an LCP amendment in Santa Cruz County. and staff is recommending that the 60-day time limit to act on this LCP amendment be extended up to 1 year to June 8th, 2009.
Okay, we have no speaker slips on 11A. What's the pleasure of the commission?
Madam Chair, I move the commission extend the 60-day time limit to act on Santa Cruz County Local Coastal Program Amendment, Major Amendment Number 2-05, Part B, to June 8th, 09.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter, seconded by Commissioner Kajian, to approve the time extension. Would you like to speak to your motion?
Absolutely not.
All right. Commissioner Kajian? No? All right. So any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the time extension is approved. 11B?
11B is also a time extension for a Santa Cruz County LCP Major Amendment 1-06 Part 3 concerning the density bonus regulations. And again, we are recommending that the time limit be extended for up to 1 year.
All right. We have no speakers on 11B.
Madam Chair, I move the commission extend the 60-day time limit to act on Santa Cruz County Local Coastal Program Major Amendment Number 1-06 Part 3 to June 8th of 09.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter, a second by Commissioner Kajian to approve the time extension. Would you like to speak to your motions, gentlemen?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Then if there are no objections, we'll have a unanimous roll call vote on this, and the time extension is approved. Item 11C, we do have one speaker slip on this, staff.
Okay, 11C is also a time extension. This is another Santa Cruz County LCP Major Amendment 2-06 Part 2 concerning neighborhood compatibility. And again, we are recommending that the time limit for the commission to review this item be extended up to 1 year.
All right, and this speaker is Todd Williams from Morgan Miller Blair. And are you just here to support the extension, or do you need to speak?
Commissioner, I don't need to speak if the favor of the commission is to continue in the manner that it has. We're in favor of the time extension. We're opposed to the proposed amendment, but I can reserve those comments until this item comes back to the commission.
All right. So then we will just look to Commissioner Potter again.
Madam Chair, I move the commission extend the 60-day time limit to act on Santa Cruz County Local Coastal Program Major Amendment Number 2-06 Part 2 to June 8th, 09.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter, a second by Commissioner Kajian to approve the time extension. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No.
No? All right. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the extension is approved.
Item 11D is not a time extension. And I do have a very short presentation. This is an LCP amendment for the city of Watsonville. And we are recommending that the commission approve it as submitted. This is an LCP amendment to rezone or change the land use designations. Oh, excuse me. I think I skipped an item. Yes, 11D.
D is next.
Back up. 11D is concurrence with the commission's with the county's acceptance of the commission's modification for certification of the citywide creeks and wetlands management plan. And the city has reviewed the commission's action and made legally adequate findings in staff view to result in the certification of that amendment.
Okay, we have no speaker slips on this item. Commissioner Potter?
Madam Chair, I move that the commission concur with the executive director's determination that the actions taken by the city of Santa Cruz to accept the commission's suggested modifications for LCP amendment number 1-06 are legally adequate.
We have a motion and a second. Motion by Commissioner Potter, seconded by Commissioner Akajian. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Are there any objections to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
Okay, that brings us to the City of Watsonville item 11E, in which the City of Watsonville is proposing to amend both the land use plan and the implementation plan to allow a solar electric utility facility as conditional use at the city's landfill site. Staff is recommending approval of the proposed amendments as submitted. This is a view of the proposed location of the solar facility. The landfill site is located off San Andreas Road and consists of about 50 acres total. But the city has been approached by an electric company with the concept of establishing a 4.7 megawatt solar electrical system on 8 acres of this part of the landfill that's already been filled and capped. The proposed amendment modifies the LUP and the IP to allow this use as a conditional use. And the solar array that would be constructed at this site is overall part of the city's vision currently to fully offset the city's electrical use and its associated carbon footprint via solar power. The total system, including solar arrays proposed at the landfill site and solar arrays proposed to be located outside the coastal zone, would generate approximately 6.6 to 6.7 megawatts of electricity and would constitute one of the largest municipal arrays in California. Coastal Act Section 30240 requires protection of sensitive habitat. There is no sensitive habitat on this immediate landfill area. There is a riparian corridor located on the eastern side of the landfill. However, installation of this facility would be over 300 feet from this corridor. Section 30251 requires that new development be sited and designed to protect public views. The landfill site is located in a valley behind existing agricultural fields along San Andreas Road. The site is not generally visible from the ocean, Highway 1, or San Andreas Road, although it may be partially visible from very distant ocean and Highway 1 views. Therefore, we are not finding a problem with consistency on visual issues. Finally, Section 30241 requires the maximum amount of prime agricultural land be maintained in production. As you can see, this is a landfill site that's been filled and capped and is not considered to be viable agricultural land at this time. Therefore, we do not believe that the proposed rezoning raises any concerns with respect to protecting agriculture. On the other hand, this project would be a significant benefit to the city in terms of generating electrical power and offsetting the carbon footprint of that community. Therefore, we are recommending that the commission approve the amendment as submitted.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me note that we have no speakers on this item.
Madam Chair, I move the commission certify major amendment number 1-08 to the City of Watsonville Local Coastal Program Land Use Plan as submitted by the City of Watsonville. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Commissioner Potter, a second by Commissioner Kajian. And they're recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the land use plan as submitted and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No.
All right. Mr. Kajian, no? Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the motion
is... Madam Chair, I would then move the commission reject major amendment number 1-08 to the City of Watsonville Local Coastal Program Implementation Plan as submitted by the City of Watsonville. Recommend a no vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter, a second by Commissioner Kajian. Failure of this motion will result in certification of the implementation plan amendment and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you care to speak to your motion?
No way.
Okay. Any objections to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies major amendment number 1-08 to the City of Watsonville Local Coastal Program Implementation Plan as submitted and adopts the findings set forth in the staff report. All right. Thank you.
Item 11F is the request to extend the time limit to acknowledge and accept the modifications proposed by the Coastal Commission on the University of California at Santa Cruz Marine Science Campus long-range development plan. We've been working with the university as follow-up on those modifications, and the university has been working to bring that to the regents for their consideration, but we do need a little more time for them to accomplish that. Therefore, we're recommending that the commission extend the six-month time limit for the University of California to accept these suggested modifications to June 13th, 2009.
Thank you, staff. We have no speaker slips on this item. Commissioner Potter?
Madam Chair, I move the commission extend the six-month time limit for the University of California to accept the commission's suggested modifications that apply to the UCSC CLRDP to June 13th, 09.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter and a second by Commissioner Kajian. They're recommending a yes vote. Passage of this motion will approve the time extension. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the time extension is approved.
Finally, item 13A is revised findings for application 307012 that the commission approved last month with conditions. The commission did make one change to the staff recommendation last month with respect to the visual restriction, and that condition has been struck, and changes to the findings are shown in strikeout and underline. Commissioners who are eligible to vote on the revised findings are those on the prevailing side at that hearing. This includes Commissioners Ashagian, Blank, Clark, Hueso, Kruer, Neely, Potter, Riley, and Secord.
All right. Thank you, staff. We have one speaker slip on this item, but let me first go to my left and see if there are any ex parte communications. And the right? Seeing none. We have one speaker, Charlene Attic. Charlene, are you here in the audience?
Do you wish to address? I think she was here for an earlier item.
Oh, was she? Okay, it says 13A on this, so then she does not need to speak with regard to the findings? Okay, all right. Thank you.
So that noted, I would move the commission adopt the revised findings in support of the commission's action on April 11th, 2008, approving with conditions the development proposed under Coastal Development Permit Application Number 3-07-012, pursuant to the staff recommendation. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter, seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Yes, you are on the prevailing side. Okay. They're recommending a yes vote. Could we get a show of hands of those commissioners eligible to vote on this item? And it's unanimous of those that are eligible. Thank you, staff. Now we'll change over to North Coast.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the North Coast portion of the agenda, I'd just like to point out first that there are a number of handouts that you have. I distributed some of the handouts last night, and for those that didn't receive them, I placed them on the dais this morning. There's a pink addendum for the North Coast Deputy Director's report, a green addendum containing a letter on the immaterial amendment that's in the Deputy Director's report, and then there's an individual staff addendum on item 17A, which is the Moore appeal. And then also you'll notice there's a binder that's been placed at your table. That was submitted by applicants Harvey Hochstetter and Larry Shea for item 17A. The
16A, I think. 16A?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, 16A.
All right.
The before I talk about the Deputy Director's report, I just want to note that a major item that had been scheduled for today's meeting, the Caltrans Alton Interchange project, was postponed. This is an item of great importance locally. We had recommended that the commission include a condition that would require that a final wetland mitigation plan be brought back to the commission for review, because the information presented at the time the application was scheduled for this meeting didn't include a final analysis of the full extent of the wetland impact and didn't evaluate the least environmentally damaging feasible alternative. And those are decisions that are properly for the commission to make rather than for staff to review through condition compliance. After reviewing the staff report, Caltrans decided that they could finish their wetland information by next week, and therefore they preferred to come back to the commission in June, where the mitigation plan could be considered with the recommendation on the full project. As I noted, the pink addendum contains one item, which is an immaterial permit amendment originally granted to Georgia Pacific for removal of building foundations and performing hazardous waste investigation and interim remediation on their property at the old mill site in Fort Bragg. The proposed amendment would authorize more of the same: demolition of two additional buildings and on-site aerobic biosparaging treatment of contaminated groundwater and bioremediation of soils. We did receive an objection letter from Mary Walsh of the Mendocino Group of the Sierra Club, which is in the green addendum. We've reviewed the letter, and the letter does not change our determination that the amendment qualifies for immaterial processing. There's four main concerns raised in the letter. One, the Sierra Club suggests that it's inappropriate for the commission to be reviewing this application separate from another pending application that involves capping an area of dioxin on the site. There's questions about the CEQA process, questions about where are the buildings that are proposed for demolition, and questions about whether asbestos concerns will be properly handled. With regard to the first concern, staff believes that the two amendments are not functionally dependent on each other. As I noted, the immaterial amendment before you is for a range of activities that's similar in scope to the original permit and deal with a completely different area than the dioxin capping. And these improvements are meant to deal with hydrocarbons rather than dioxin. We also believe that the conditions of the original permit would be adequate to control the impacts of this particular amendment, whereas the dioxin issue would need its own separate conditions, and therefore we think that does need to come back as a material amendment later. With regard to the CEQA concern, I just remind the Commission that under the CEQA process, the Commission's process has been deemed the functional equivalent, and the Commission is not the lead agency in this case. Department of Toxic Substances Control is, and we understand that they are completing the environmental review. The buildings, I note, are Planer Building Number 2 and Sawmill Number 2, which are located both east of the wastewater treatment plant in areas that aren't near ponds and ESHA. And with regard to asbestos removal, it's associated with removal of a fire suppression line, and the particular kind of asbestos that's involved here is the non-friable kind. The applicant is going to use contractors licensed in asbestos removal, and they will be required to follow existing EPA and Air Quality Management District rules. So the questions and concerns raised by the letter haven't changed our opinion about the immateriality of the amendment. We continue to believe the amendment as proposed and as conditions by the terms and conditions of the original permit is consistent with the LCP and will not have significant impacts on other coastal resources. Your regulations provide that in situations such as this where a letter of objection has been received, but staff continues to believe the amendment is immaterial, that we shall report that to you, and if any three commissioners object to our determination of immateriality, then the application shall be scheduled for a full hearing by the commission at a subsequent meeting. And before you poll the commissioners on that, Madam Chair, I do need to correct for the record a statement made in our notice of the proposed amendment. I received a call from the staff of DTSC indicating that our statement in the first sentence of the findings that the removal of the former industrial buildings, the extraction of obsolete site infrastructure, and on-site treatment activities are part of the ongoing investigation and remediation program administered by DTSC. That statement's not accurate. DTSC has nothing to do with review of the removal of the buildings, only the investigation and remediation of contaminated soil and groundwater. Our principal point is still the same, however, that there is that oversight. So at this time, Madam Chair, after you've given the Commission the opportunity to express to address any ex parte communications, we'd ask that you poll the commissioners as to whether they object to the process of the amendment as an immaterial amendment.
All right. Thank you, staff. Any ex parte communications on my left?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Akajian?
On May 1st, I had a meeting with Morgan Rafferty, Executive Director of ECOSLO, and Gordon Hansley, San Luis Obispo Coastkeepers. Their concerns were that our staff determined that a site below the ridge and out of sight next to the existing barn was unsuitable because the soil didn't perk adequate for a septic system.
We
are on 16A, aren't
we? This is the director's report.
Okay.
No.
We didn't get there yet.
We're
okay,
on
thank you.
14 right now.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Any other? None? Okay. Any objections from the commission? Then the item is deemed approved.
Thank you. That brings us to the consent calendar, item 15. And as Dr. Lester noted at the beginning of the meeting, there is one North Coast item that's moved to the consent calendar, and that is item 18A, the permit amendment request of the Reclamation District. The amendment request is to amend a permit granted several years ago to the Reclamation District for long-term maintenance of their extensive levee system on Humboldt Bay and Mad River Slough west of Arcata. And the proposed permit amendment basically accommodates extensive repairs which the district is seeking authorization for as a result of receiving funding from FEMA to repair substantial damage that was caused by winter storms over the last few years. We're aware of no opposition to this application, and we recommend that upon close of the consent calendar hearing, you approve the application with the conditions listed in the staff report.
Move consent.
Moved and seconded that we approve the consent calendar. Any objections to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? The consent calendar is approved.
That brings us to item 17A, which is appeal A1MEN 08-9.
We need 16A first, I think.
I'm sorry. I don't know what my I can't count today. 16A, thank you. It is the same item, however. This item is an appeal by Commissioner Schallenberger and Riley and the Sierra Club Mendocino Group from a decision of Mendocino County granting a permit with conditions to Harvey Hochstetter and Larry Shea for construction of a approximately 3,000-square-foot single-family residence and a 933-square-foot attached garage with an average maximum height of 13.5 feet above grade, including the installation of a septic system, as approved by the county, a wind power generator, solar panels, propane tank, and connection to an existing water system. The site is a approximately 300-acre parcel. It's located on a ridge about 1,500 feet east of Highway 1, north of the intersection of Highway 1 and the north end of the 10-mile River Bridge in Mendocino County. As I noted, the applicants have distributed a binder this morning, which contains letters I believe you already have as part of the staff report, plus color versions of photographs that you may have received already. The commission will be considering today whether the appeal raises a substantial issue, and then if you do find that a substantial issue is raised, we're asking that you move directly to the de novo review of the application. And we are recommending that the commission first determine that indeed the project does raise a substantial issue, and then if you find that, we're recommending that you approve the project de novo with conditions. The contentions for substantial issue primarily involve the conformance of the project with the visual resource protection policies of the LCP. The area is designated as a highly scenic area, and it is in a very spectacular location along the Mendocino coast. And the contentions raised by the commissioner appellants focus on the county approval of a wind generator facility as part of the project. The staff report for the county had no information about where the generator would be, how tall, what sort of visual impact, and the concern was that with that sort of open authorization that some sort of wind generator facility could be built in a design or location that would not be consistent with the requirements that development be subordinate to the character of the setting. The Sierra Club appeal also raises the visual concern that they believe there are likely alternative locations where the house would not be visible at all from Highway 1 and other vantage points. And then the wind generator also raised caused a contention to be raised regarding protection of Esha, as there was no analysis of the effects of the wind generator on bird strikes and bat strikes. So we're recommending that you find that the appeal does raise a substantial issue on all of those grounds. And in cases such as this where we're recommending substantial issue, unless three or more commissioners choose to accept testimony and vote, the item would be deemed to raise a substantial issue. Therefore, at this time, we'd ask through the chair whether there are three or more commissioners who wish to take testimony and vote.
All right. Are there three or more commissioners that wish to have a hearing regarding substantial issue?
I just want to, before you move forward, I just want to state that I have an ex parte on file.
I beg your pardon. Let me start with ex partes. Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On May 1st, I did meet with Morgan Rafferty from Executive Director of EcoSlo and Gordon Hensley of San Luis Obispo Housekeepers. Their concerns were that of the septic tank, because our staff determined that the site below the ridge and out of sight next to the existing barn was unsuitable because the soil didn't perk adequately. They thought if an above-grade septic system were used, this site would have the least environmental impact, especially on the highly scenic visual resources. Their second concern was seating the house next to the barn would also satisfy LCP 3.5-4, minimize visual impacts of development on the terrace, and minimize the number of structures and cluster them. If the development were on the north side of the barn, it would be completely invisible. They were concurring with the staff if those two conditions were added to the request by staff.
All right, thank you. Anyone else have an ex parte? Commissioner Hueso?
Like I said earlier, mine are on file.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Do three or more commissioners object to the finding of substantial issue? Seeing none, then substantial issue is found. We're back to staff.
Okay, and now I'll move into the de novo presentation. As I noted, we're recommending approval with conditions. For purposes of the de novo review, the applicant submitted a revised project description that made several changes. First and foremost, it eliminated the wind power generator from the project, eliminating that concern about visual impacts. Also clarified that the building materials include dark stone siding and dark bottled asphalt roof shingles to cause the building to blend better to the surroundings. And there's also a landscaping plan that's now proposed that includes planting trees to screen the residents. The plan includes planting approximately 15 trees located to the south and southwest of the residence. And the applicant further proposes that no exterior lighting would be installed on that same south-southwest side of the residence to minimize impacts on views from Highway 1. The staff has visited the site to evaluate the visual impacts of the project. And prior to our visit, the applicant had installed story poles to delineate the perimeter and height of the residence. And based on our site visit to view the story poles in the site, we determined that no portion of the residence would be silhouetted against the open sky, and the structure would not project any higher than existing trees. It would be visible from Highway 1, but it's difficult to discern the story poles without the use of binoculars, so we concluded that the residence may be minimally visible and have minimal impact on views. I have six short slides that I'd like to just quickly show to give you a sense of the visual resources at the site. And so if we could bring up the staff presentation on that item. Thank you. There it is. This is a view from Highway 1, and the project site is located along this ridge that you see in the background, and the location of the house would be approximately in this location. The site is about 1.5 miles east of Highway 1. This is a magnified view from the same location. Slide 3 is a view from the project site itself, looking back in the opposite direction towards the southwest. The arrow is pointing to the location of Highway 1 as it travels along McCarricker Dunes in the state park. And this gives you some perspective of how the distance relates to the visual concerns. Slide 4 is a view of the house site on the ridge, showing the story poles and depicting the 13.5-foot height of the building. And you can see the backdrop of trees that will help moot the appearance of it. Slide 5, is more of the forest vegetation that will form the backdrop. And this is the story poles looking from near the forested area in the opposite direction and gives you a sense of the scale of the project, and particularly the height. And that's all the slides that I have. But whether or not the commission views the project to have significant visual impacts, the project still must be found consistent with LCP policies. One of the principal policies affecting the highly scenic area is that new development proposed on ridgetops in highly scenic areas must not be located on the ridgetop if there's a feasible alternative. And we've looked at different alternatives. There are basically four main alternatives. The project site is 300 acres, so it's quite large. And on the lower portions of the site, about halfway down the hill, there's an existing barn that is largely screened from view from Highway 1. And so the alternative considered was to place the house near the barn. The main problem with that is that there's not a suitable location for a septic system. Environmental Health has evaluated that and determined that while there was a small area suitable for the accessory bathroom for the barn, there's not one big enough for the house. And then also it's the main agricultural area for the site. The other alternatives, you could locate it on the hillside itself, but that would be a much more exposed location that we didn't think would make the project subordinate to its setting. There are extensive forested hillside areas, but to put the house in that location would require substantial landform alteration, tree removal, and grading, which are not consistent with other policies of the visual resource protection component of the LCP. And then finally, when we were up here at the site, we noted that there is a level area behind where this photo is taken that's sort of tucked back into the trees, which would be a little more removed from the ridge and maybe be somewhat less visible. But the problem is, by being tucked into the trees, it would eliminate the solar access to the site. And the house is proposed off the grid, and it's going to rely totally on solar energy, and so that wasn't deemed to be a feasible alternative. We note that the project, as proposed, with a limited height of 13.5 feet, the landscaping plan, the use of dark earth tone colors, the use of non-reflective glass, will all tend to reduce the visual impact of the project. And we've required additional conditions that would basically enforce those proposed measures. There's a condition for a final landscaping plan, limitations on the colors and materials, a requirement for a plan that requires the solar panels to be located on the garage structure, which will be set behind the house, and so forth. So, as conditioned, we believe that the project is consistent with the visual resource protection policies of the certified LCP, and we're recommending that the commission approve the project with the recommended conditions by adopting the staff recommendation, which is on page 9. Now, Madam Chair, before I close, I did want to note that we had received a 45-second long DVD from the appellants, who indicated that they would not be able to be present today, but asked that we show the DVD to you. I've reviewed it. The DVD does present, a fair characterization of the appearance of the site from various vantage points on Highway 1. And if you'd like to see it, we could show the video now.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and do that?
Thank you. If we could have the DVD video.
We're waiting for the DVD video. Here it comes.
There we go.
Okay.
The site is up on the ridgetop. That's in the far distance. That sort of grassy hillside with the trees above it. The house would be right below the tallest trees that you see on that ridge. And this is a view from Highway 1 as you're driving along to get a sense of how it would look.
Yeah.
And there's one last bit. This is right near the 10 Mile River Bridge project that's underway. And there's that same ridge in the background as they cross the bridge. And that's it. So that concludes my remarks, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, staff. We'll open the public hearing and note we have one speaker, Lori Shea, who is the applicant, and we'd invite you to the microphone now. How much time do you need, Ms. Shea?
Not much after hearing what
Have 5 minutes
Merrill.
Be all right? Or
Certainly.
Okay.
Is that better?
And could you state your name for the record?
My name is Larry Shea, and my husband, Harvey Hoxter, and I very much appreciate being able to address the concerns of the commissioners and of the Sierra Club, of which we've also been longtime members. And our goal has always been to build a house that did not degrade the spectacular, you know, scenic value of the area that we've lived since the late 60s. And we have considered various places on our property and determined that the site that we've chosen is the best place to build our home. As a matter of fact, all five of the adjacent property owners surrounding our property on north, south, east, and west have written letters supporting our being able to build in this exact site. As Mr. Merrill said, the various other sites on the property either bring up other environmental issues of their own or don't allow us to use our land for agricultural purposes. Most of the land is pretty steep. Most of it's forested. And we're planning to have our horses, our cattle, our goats on that hillside. And if we were to try to build our house partway up, as Mr. Merrill said, it would stick out more as a sore thumb because it wouldn't be surrounded by trees. So once we decided that the site that you've seen today was the best place to site our house, 4 years ago we began planting additional trees. We have planted 24 redwood, Douglas fir, and Sitka spruce trees in that kind of a gap in the tree line that you'll see in some of the photos. If you look at that site from the north, from direct west, you don't see that gap. It's just kind of the angle from the south that presents the gap. But we already planted those trees, as I said, over 4 years ago. Harvey's been watering them diligently around the year, and they're doing well. They're all way taller than I am already, and they're going to be taller than our 13-foot house by the time we get it built. Additionally, over a year ago, we planted 15 cypress and redwood trees in front of our house site, and I think you could see those in both the photographs that I put together in the binder and in the photographs that Mr. Merrill showed. And these trees are already, some of them, over 10 feet tall. They're on the over the slope of the hillside, some of them, in front of the house, but we planted three rows of trees, staggering them. So from nearly any angle, our house is going to be peering out from between these trees, peering out from behind the trees, and then surrounded in back on all sides by the longtime existing forest and by the 24 trees that we planted to fill in that little bit of a gap. We also have considered the color of the house, the height of the house, the lighting, which will all be, you know, constrained. We will have no lighting on the south or west sides of the house. And we're happy to do anything, listen to the recommendations of our friends and neighbors and of the commission to make sure that, you know, we build a house that will both be our dream and not take away from anybody else's enjoyment of the coast.
Very good. Thank you. And that's the only speaker we have, so we'll close the public hearing and go back to staff. Did you have anything to add?
No, Madam Chair.
All right. Then we'll bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Wan has a question, and then Commissioner Riley.
Yeah, I just have a question of staff, and it has to do, obviously, this whole issue is an alternatives analysis. And the alternative by the barn, I noticed that in the letters that have been submitted or ex partes that there was discussion about by the Sierra Club folks about siting it by the barn and using an above-ground septic. What is that, and what's the feasibility of that? I'm not familiar with septics that are above ground.
Well, I think they're probably referring to what's known as a Wisconsin mound system, or there's other more specialized types of designs that are available these days. The health department, though, has reviewed it and determined that those wouldn't be acceptable at this location.
Is that all? Thank you. Commissioner Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move commission approve coastal development permit number A-1-MAN-08-009, subject to staff conditions. Ask for a yes vote.
Thank you. We have a motion by Commissioner Riley, a second by Commissioner Schallenberger. Passage of this motion will result in approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No.
No? Commissioner Schallenberger? No. All right. Any objections to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings set forth in the staff report. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I just want to thank the applicant for their cooperation here and working with staff to address our concerns, and we wish all applicants were that cooperative.
Yes, we do. We have wonderful applicants on the North Coast. Thank you for being here today. All right, staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That brings us now to item 17A, which is the appeal A1-MEN-07-21, which is an appeal by Commissioners Wan and Riley of a decision granted by Mendocino County for construction of a single-family home north of Wallala. As amended for today's de novo review of the project, the development consists of remodeling an existing duplex structure into a single unit by constructing additions to the existing building, remodeling the interior in a way that removes the second kitchen, and installing a second floor deck, and then separately constructing a 556-square-foot detached second residential unit, which in itself includes an additional 818 square feet of floor decking. You found substantial issue at the hearing of July 12th in 2007. As I noted, there is a staff addendum that distributed last night and this morning, which presents certain new findings for approval that were not included in the written staff recommendation. The primary issue raised by the project on appeal was the project's consistency with the ESHA buffer policies of the LCP. The approximately 1 acre blufftop lot contains significant rare plant habitat consisting of five separate areas of coastal morning glory habitat, including a patch that's on the bluff side of the residential development and four patches of varying sizes between the development site and the road. And they're all shown in exhibit number 3 on the site plan. The project revisions that have been made for the de novo review significantly address the buffer concern. The revisions are designed to ensure that at least a 50-foot buffer can be established between the new development proposed and the coastal morning glory habitat that's landward of the existing residential structure. And that was accomplished by eliminating a previously approved 500-square-foot barn shed that had been approved by the county, eliminating new permanent fencing that would have been located adjacent to the morning glory habitat, eliminating a driveway addition, which also would have extended to within a few feet of the coastal morning glory habitat. The existing structure to be remodeled and added onto was constructed in the 1960s prior to the Coastal Act. It was built in a location that's currently as close as 5 feet from the edge of some of the ESHA. That condition will remain, but all of the proposed additions to the existing residence and the new detached second unit structure would be located either a minimum of 50 feet from all of the rare plant habitat or would be separated from the habitat on the bluff by the existing structure. The existing residence is a substantial structure, approximately 3,000 square feet in size, and the full width of this building would screen and separate the new additions from the ESHA in question along the bluff. The LCP policies indicate that a buffer area of 100 feet should be established between all ESHAs and new development, although the buffer width can be reduced to 50 feet under certain circumstances. In this case, the substantial existing pre-Coastal Act structure that adjoins or was within a few feet of the ESHA and intervenes between the additions and this portion of the ESHA precludes the establishment of an actual buffer. In all other areas of the site where the structure does not intervene between the new development and the ESHA, a minimum 50-foot buffer would be established. And we believe that that approach is consistent with the LCP. You cannot establish a buffer where the house exists now. The applicant's biologist has prepared an analysis that we believe substantiates that a 50-foot buffer would be adequate. Staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions to ensure that some of the specific recommendations of the applicant's biologist for enhancing the buffer be actually implemented. And those include condition number 6, which requires the use of temporary exclusion fencing to separate the ESHA from the construction, that no invasive plants be planted on the property and all existing invasive plants be removed. That seasonal high weed mowing be conducted to keep weeds and brush from invading the rare plant habitat and outcompeting the coastal morning glory, and that rodenticides not be used on the property. We also have conditions that would require any future amendments, any future additions come back in the form of permanent amendments so the commission can review whether those would affect the ESHA protection. The site is on a bluff parcel, and I note that with the revisions to the project, the second unit has increased its setback from the bluff edge from 25 feet to 40 feet. The geotechnical analysis submitted with the application indicates that the development would be safe from bluff retreat. We've recommended the usual conditions against future seawalls and assuming all risk and liability for any damage that might occur in the future. And we believe that as conditioned, the development is consistent with the Mendocino LCP and the Public Access Policy of the Coastal Act, and we recommend that you approve the project by adopting the staff recommendation as modified by the addendum. All right. And the motion is on page 6 of the report.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me note that we have no speakers on this item. Are there any ex parte communications from the commission members? Seeing none. Commissioner Schellenberger? Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Riley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move commission approve coastal development permit number A-1-MEN-07-021, subject to staff conditions. Ask for a yes vote.
It's been moved and seconded by Commissioner Riley, Commissioner Schellenberger, that we approve the staff's recommendation. The maker of the motion are recommending a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby approves a coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings set forth in the staff report. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, as item 17B was postponed and item 18A was moved to the consent calendar, that brings us to the federal consistency portion of the agenda, and here to present that is Larry Simone.
Thank you very much.
Commissioners, item 19A is a Air Force consistency determination for facility modernization at the Pillar Point Air Force Tracking Station near Half Moon Bay in San Mateo County. The staff is recommending concurrence. An addendum was passed out to you yesterday. The staff was originally recommending conditional concurrence. The Air Force has now agreed to the condition and has incorporated it into the project description, so the recommendation is now simply concurrence. The revised motion is contained on page 1 of your addendum. The new facilities, which include one large and two smaller radar domes and other improvements that won't be visible, are needed for missile defense and tracking launches from Vandenberg Air Force Base, which has been the historic long-term mission for this tracking station at Pillar Point. We've passed several photographs showing the existing and proposed facilities. One of the new radar domes is quite large, and the whole station is located in a very prominent and visible knoll. The staff has worked with the Air Force to see if there are any ways to avoid or reduce impacts, but we believe the Air Force has answered all of our questions and has selected the least damaging alternative given the constraints at the site. We don't see any way to further reduce visual impacts, and we agree the facilities are needed for missile defense and tracking launches. Mm-hmm. With their agreement to remove the facilities when they're no longer needed, we believe the project is consistent with the view protection policies of the Coastal Act, and therefore recommend that you concur.
All right. Thank you, staff. Are there any ex parte communications? Seeing none.
Madam Chair, I move the commission.
Wait a minute. We have a speaker on this
one. Oh, geez.
Okay.
What is going on here?
All right. Let me open the public hearing. We have a speaker, Rick Einstman. And how much time would you like, Mr. Einstman?
I just need probably 1 minute, ma'am.
All right. That would be fine.
My name is Rick Einstman. I'm actually here representing the Air Force on this project. And obviously, we concur with the staff's recommendation to proceed with this project and to determine that it is consistent with the California Coastal Management Plan. I do have a short presentation I can walk through if you determine it's needed, and I'm here to answer any questions.
All right. Let me just check with the commissioners. Would you like to see the presentation, or you feel comfortable with the recommendations? All right. Thank you, sir. I think we feel comfortable. Commissioner Potter?
After that compelling testimony, I move the commission concur with consistency determination CD-013-08 that the project is fully consistent and thus consistent to the maximum extent practicable with the enforceable policies of the California Coastal Management Program. I recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Potter, a second by Commissioner Hueso. Passage of this motion will result in an agreement with the determination and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion? All right. And the seconder? No? Okay. Then would anyone object to concurrence with this, with staff's recommendation? Seeing none, the item is approved.
Item 19B is the National Park Service's consistency determination for a combined stream and wetland restoration, flood control, and public access improvement project at Big Lagoon at Muir Beach in Marin County. The staff is recommending concurrence. The Park Service has conducted extensive outreach and involved the community and has thoroughly analyzed project alternatives. We agree with the Park Service that this plan represents the best solution and one that will maximize habitat values by returning the stream to a more natural condition, actively restoring wetlands in Esha while also improving public access and views, and avoids reducing the size of the existing parking lot at this popular beach. The levee removal, wetland and Escher restoration, improved trails, and a more sensitively designed and reconfigured parking lot, and improved flood conveyance capabilities, all further Coastal Act goals. The project is consistent with the wetland, flood control, water quality, and public access policies of the Coastal Act. We recommend that you concur.
All right, thank you. Let me first ask if there are any ex parte communications from the commissioners. Seeing none, we do have one speaker, so we'll open the public hearing. The speaker is Steve Granada. Oh, it says 19B on here, sorry. All right, we have no speakers on this, so we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Potter?
Commissioner Riley?
I'll move concurrence, Madam Chair.
All right, it's been moved by Commissioner Riley and seconded by Commissioner Potter that the commission concur with this recommendation. Would you like to speak to your motion? All right. Okay. Any objection to your unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby concurs with the consistency determination CD-014-08 by the National Park Service on the grounds that the project would be consistent with the enforceable policies of the CCMP. Thank you.
Item 19C is a Navy and Corps of Engineers consistency determination for maintenance dredging of Port Hueneme Harbor. Construction in the harbor of a confined aquatic disposal facility for contaminated sediments and beach disposal of clean sediments on Hueneme Beach in Ventura County, and the staff is recommending concurrence. An addendum was passed out yesterday. The addendum adds language to the staff recommendation regarding State Lands Commission jurisdiction over disposal of dredged materials on Hueneme Beach. The status of a commission-approved CAD in the Port of Long Beach, protection of California Grunion, and U.S. EPA review of the proposed project. The proposed new language in the addendum is shown in underlined text and language to be deleted as shown in strikeout text. In addition, four comment letters were received since publication of the staff report and were attached to the addendum. In addition, staff received two letters in support of the project yesterday and two additional letters opposing the project. The project is designed to perform needed maintenance dredging of Port Hueneme Harbor, including the entrance and approach channels, the turning basin, and the Navy and Oxnard Harbor District wharves. The project also addresses the longstanding contaminated sediment problem within the harbor, which has prevented the maintenance dredging necessary to remove the shoaling, which is interfering with safe navigation. The project includes construction of a CAD facility in the turning basin. The clean sands excavated to create the CAD will be placed on Hueneme Beach just south of the harbor entrance channel. Contaminated sediments throughout the harbor will then be dredged and placed at the bottom of the CAD. Clean sediments dredged from the harbor will then be placed on top of the contaminated sediments to form a 10-foot thick cap. And lastly, a 1/2 to 3-foot thick layer of gravel will be placed over portions of the cap to further guard against vessel scouring. Work is scheduled to occur between October of this year and September of 2009. The project is the least environmentally damaging alternative for dredging and disposal of contaminated and clean sediments and includes avoidance, minimization, and mitigation measures to protect coastal resources. The project will permanently remove contaminated sediments that are presently exposed to the aquatic environment of the harbor. The CAD facility is designed to ensure that these sediments are permanently isolated and that water quality and marine resources are protected. The project includes an operation, management, and monitoring plan with provisions for management and monitoring objectives, construction monitoring and post-disposal monitoring plans, contingency plans, annual monitoring plans, and long-term management plans for the CAD. The Commission staff proposed and the Navy and Corps accepted several modifications to the management plan regarding water column monitoring, bathymetric and fracture detection surveys, cap coring, and adaptive management. The maintenance dredging will also enhance safe navigation within the harbor, which will benefit the public's use of charter fishing vessels that use the harbor. And the clean sand excavated to create the CAD will be placed on and replenish the severely eroded Hueneme Beach south of the harbor entrance channel. In conclusion, the project is consistent with the dredging, filling, water quality, marine resources, public access, recreation, and sand supply policies of the Coastal Act. The Navy, the Corps, and their engineering environmental consultants are present and are prepared to make a presentation and or answer questions. The staff recommends you concur with the consistency determination.
All right. Thank you, staff. Are there any ex parte communications, Commissioner Kajian?
No, ma'am.
All right. Anyone else? No, but we have several speakers on this item. No, we're not. We're on C. We're on C. Sorry. All right, we have several speakers on this item. We'll open the public hearing and ask that the representatives from the U.S. Navy come forward. You have a total of 15 minutes. I believe there are four of you. Just state your name for the record and how much time you'd like.
Good morning. I'm Captain Dave Fleisch, Chief Staff Officer of Naval Base Ventura County. I think 10 minutes for myself and one other member would be appropriate.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity to address this group on the importance of this project to the Navy. The Wainimi Harbor is an important asset to the mission of the Navy. It is the home of the Pacific Naval Construction Force, or Seabees, and the logistics center for all Navy Seabees, transportation of equipment, supplies, and materials from the port at Wainimi to our deployed forces is significant. In the last 5 years, we've averaged 37 ships annually moving over 36,000 tons of military cargo. In addition, our two research and development activities on the base conduct testing and technical support that require naval cruisers and destroyers to berth at our wharves on a routine basis. The current draft of the harbor places significant constraints on these ships. The design depth of the project at 34.5 feet is critical. Currently, the reduced draft creates a tide-dependent limitation for use of our wharves. For cruisers, this only allows us a 51% availability of the berth based on the days available. For the newer class of ships, roll-on, roll-off, that take care of the cargo for our, that was mentioned above, we're limited to about 12% of the available time. This project will restore the capability of the Wainimi Harbor to meet the routine and urgent needs of our logistics support to our Seabees and our other forces in testing and technical support for our warships. At this point, I'd like to ask Mr. Steve Grenade from my environmental staff to come forward to provide a brief presentation.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Steve Grenade. I'm an environmental engineer at Naval Base Ventura County. And I'm going to give a brief presentation.
Could I ask, did you fill out a speaker's form? And if not, could you give one to the staff before?
I have to apologize. I did. Clearly, I need better handwriting lessons. I had a B instead of a C.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're going to a presentation overview. We're going to run through an alternatives analysis that we went through, a brief discussion on project design features, some contingency measures that we have built into the project, and we will briefly touch on the public comments we've received to date. We went through an extensive alternatives analysis. We looked at sediment treatment and reuse. We looked at upland landfill disposal. We looked at the use of an on-site confined disposal facility. We looked at using fill sites at the Port of Long Beach and the Port of LA. And lastly, we looked at a confined aquatic disposal site coupled with beach replenishment. Ultimately, many of the alternatives were rejected. The treatment and reuse one, the actual sediment was poor candidate for treatment. The low sand content eliminated the sand separation technique that has been used successfully at other locations. And there was no identified local end user of the material. The landfill disposal was discarded because the transportation of the material to landfill caused significant air and transportation impacts that were unmitigatable. And the local landfills are not authorized for receipt of the salty material. The on-site confined disposal facility was discarded because there was the lack of suitable space either in upland or in the waterfront for the required volume that we had. And lastly, the Port of Long Beach and Port of LA had indicated that we could not have, they did not have the availability to take the material for the foreseeable future. So the rationale that we, for picking the alternative that we chose was it provided a on-site solution. It was environmentally protective. It provided the opportunity for beach nourishment. It restored the full use of the Navy wharves and the Oxnard Harbor District wharves. It provided an opportunity to isolate the long-standing contaminated sediments in the harbor, and ultimately shared resources equaled a cost-effective solution. Ultimately, the CAD itself is going to be on federal property within the Navy Harbor. We incorporated a large number of conservative design features to ensure that everything stayed isolated. We have a minimum 10-foot thick clean sand cap layer. We're going to incorporate a 2 to 3 foot thick gravel layer over a portion of the location to protect against a vessel prop scour. The prop scour analysis was determined at the worst case scenario, i.e. the lowest tides, the maximum power applied to the propellers, et cetera. The design allows for chemical isolation of the materials for a minimum of 8,000 years. The CAD cell itself is positioned well above a confining clay layer at the base of this perched aquifer. We've built in a number of contingency measures to ensure that everything we have planned will go as we want it to. We have a operations management and monitoring plan. We'll be using silk curtains and be monitoring turbidity during dredging. We will be doing water quality monitoring during construction and afterwards. We will be doing sediment and pore water monitoring within the CAD cell after the fact to ensure that we're maintaining isolation. There will be continued agency review and oversight. And most importantly, the Navy remains responsible for the sediment in the CAD. I'll repeat that. The Navy will remain responsible for the sediment that's in the CAD. We had a few initial comments from the public. They related to groundwater issues. In this case, the CAD, the bottom of the CAD is positioned about 25 feet above the confining layer of the aquifer, a clay layer 10 to 30 feet thick. And more importantly, the semi-perched aquifer, the groundwater flow is upward at the site. Then we also had some comments relating to grunion and pismo clams at the beach placement location. This beach has been the site of ongoing beach replenishment since 1969, every several years. The beach replenishment is only allowed outside of grunion season, which is between allows us to place material there between September 15th and March 15th. And currently, there is a lack of existing habitat for the grunion and the pismo clams. What we have here is the beach is we're placing it right here. This is how the beach looks after there is beach replenishment done. This was done in 2005. And then this is the current condition where there is no beach. In fact, there's nothing but a rock wall preventing erosion, and it extends all the way over here, probably half a mile in width. Thank you very much. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, if possible. We brought along Mr. Steve Capolino as our technical expert on the project in case there are technical questions.
Okay, thank you, sir. And there are four other speaker slips from Anchor Environmental that all say they're here to answer questions. We have one member of the public to speak. That's Chris Burkello. How much time would you like, Mr. Burkello?
Madam Chair, I don't need any more than a minute. My name is Chris Burkello. I'm with the Oxnard Harbor District. I'm the Director of Facilities Development for the Oxnard Harbor District, and we're here in support of the staff recommendation and prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
All right. And that's the end of our I don't think there are any questions at this time. That's the end of our speaker list, so I don't know that you'll need time for rebuttal. There doesn't appear to be anything to rebut. Let me go back to staff. Did you have anything to add?
No, Madam Chair.
All right. Then we'll bring it back to the commission. Just a moment. There are a few folks that have signed up. Commissioner Wan had a question first, and then you're next.
I had a couple of questions of staff. First of all, on the Grunion Run, the speaker indicated that this is prohibited from during the Grunion Run season. Is that correct? The beach disposal.
That's correct. The okay. project calls for disposal this fall.
Okay. So that takes care of the Grunion issue, and obviously this is I'm taking them on their word that this is not habitat for the Pismo clam. I did have a couple of questions about the CAD site and long-term chemical integrity of it. The gentleman from the Navy indicated that it has, quote, chemical integrity is insured for 8,000 years. Well, I haven't read recent literature, but my recollections from when we were dealing with the CAD site at the Port of Long Beach was that the jury is still out on whether or not that it really you do have chemical integrity for and not an upward migration of the pollutants for an extended period of time. So I wanted to ask you about the long-term monitoring on this, and because it appears to me that the monitoring that we, and I could read it wrong, is somewhere between 5 and 10 years. Is that correct?
The monitoring will continue beyond that time.
It will?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one thing. All right.
The thought was that there, after it's determined that the CAD is, the construction is completed, and they do the initial short-term monitoring after construction, and if those numbers indicate that the chemicals and the sediments are isolated beneath the 10-foot cap, that it is unlikely and not necessary to monitor every year after that. But it'll probably be at five-year periods. And then they have the ability then, say, at some point in the future, 10, 15, 20 years out, to come back to the commission and say, listen, all of our monitoring indicates that things are stable. We'd like some relief from doing this every 5 years. And they could come back, and the commission could take that up at a later date.
And that would be fine. As long, I'm not concerned about that initial monitoring, and it's certainly not necessary to deal with this on an annual basis. So as long as we've got that long-term in, that's fine. The other question I have is the conditions, and if I remember, I can't remember the specifics, but we did put some conditions in on the Port of Long Beach as to what would happen if, after 20 years, the monitoring showed that it wasn't intact. Because once we have approved something, we can't go back and say, oh, now we've discovered that it is leaking and you need to make some changes. If we're going to require anything to happen under those circumstances, we need to have it in the permit now. So I couldn't quite find out how we were dealing with that. We did deal with it in a way in the Long Beach permit, but maybe you could address how you deal with it should it fail.
And when you refer to the Long Beach permit, you're referring to the CAD that was constructed at the LA River, not because the commission approved a CAD for the Port of Long Beach, and that was never constructed.
Yeah, that one was never constructed, right. But it did have within that approval the very kinds of conditions that we're talking about, and I can't remember how we resolved this question at that particular one. I'm talking about the Port of Long Beach, not the river.
Right. In terms of this project, the Navy and the Corps have committed that the CAD must remain successful. The sediments have to remain isolated. There cannot be any physical breakdown of the CAD. The fact that it's contained within a pit similar to the Los Angeles River Corps of Engineers CAD in the Energy Island Borrow Pit, the fact that it's contained within a pit and that the cap, the perimeter of that is going to be stable. But be that as it may, the Navy has, as the landowner, committed as a part of the project and in the monitoring and management plan that there shall not be any deterioration in the CAD. Materials, the cap has to remain adequate such that the contaminated materials don't migrate, chemicals don't migrate. There are standards in the management plan that have to be adhered to. And if monitoring results 5 years out, 15 years out, show that there is, you know, upward migration of contamination, the Navy is committed to address that problem. That means re-excavating or additional cap or some other feature, but they are responsible for the maintenance of that facility.
All right, thank you. That answers my questions and concerns.
Thank you. Commissioner Akagia?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission with consistency determination CD-01608 that the project described therein is fully consistent and is consistent to the maximum extent practicable with the enforceable policies of the California Coastal Management Program, CCMP, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Commissioner Akagia and seconded by Commissioner Hueso. Both the maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in a statement with the determination and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby concurs with the consistency determination by the U.S. Navy and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on the grounds that the project described therein is fully consistent with the enforceable policies of the CCMP. And that concludes our agenda. We do have one public comment. And also, I think Commissioner Kajian had some questions of staff on an item, scheduling item for July. But first of all, let's take this public comment. And this is Bruce Heyman. Bruce, are you here? Very good. Thanks, Mary.
Still here, but we'll sail home soon. Thanks for going through the agenda so quickly. Thank you, Commissioners. Yesterday we talked a little bit during a public comment about a possible misrepresentation that I may have made during the Irvine Company hearing on the slip loss, which bothered me greatly because we worry a lot about our credibility with this organization. So I went back and watched the videos, and I did state it correctly. What we are losing in Dana Point is 374 slips is the current proposal. But that will require a loss of over 1,100 slips. And it's just math, right? If you want to increase an average, you can do it two ways. You can reduce the number of things that are below the average, and you can add the number of things above the average. Well, we actually do both in Dana Point. You're going to add 772 slips that are 30 feet and over, and you're going to take away actually 1,146 slips that are 29 feet and under, and that's what actually gives you the net loss of 374. So we have to be very careful when we talk about averages. You know, averages are very useful, but you also actually have to look at peel the onion, so to speak, to look at what's going on underneath it. The next thing that, you know, this is the actual slide from the Harbor Department, and this is actually showing it. It's very busy, but it actually shows here's the different size categories. This is what we currently have today, and you can see we actually have 1,407 slips in the 29 foot and under category. This is the stated county preferred plan going into the subsequent environmental impact report process, and you can see that number drops down to 261. So again, the other thing I wanted to do is this is what we did with Newport on Wednesday. You can see that we did have a net reduction of 20%. This is the categories. This is the information that was made available in the subsequent staff report. Unfortunately, I didn't have that. I would have included this in my presentation at the time. If we now compare this with actually what's going on in Dana Point, we can see that, yes, we will go down 16% slips, and in Newport we went down 20. But you can see we're losing almost 50% of our slips that are in the 20 to 30 foot category. So all I'm asking is that when we look at slip loss, we actually peel the onion and see what's happening, because what this means now is that these 1,100 or so families are going to have to find a new modality or a new place to put their boat. So lastly, I just wanted to say our association's been existing for about a year now. We've got about 400 paid members. We're not raising enough money to go sue everybody and anything that moves. That's not our method. We're actually spending, as the Long Beach office can tell you, we're spending days, not hours, up there, actually going through the card catalogs, looking through all the CDPs, actually having the documents brought down from Sacramento and reviewing them. So it, just in closing, our credibility is very important to us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Heyman. We have one other speaker, John Nahas.
So I assume the information that you just provided has been provided to our staff.
These slides. Yes. I reviewed it yesterday with Teresa.
Okay. I just want to make sure we have it.
And I'll give you a copy.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, and we're not asking for your
question. 3 minutes, John?
Yes.
All right.
Good morning, Commissioners. John Nahas. Yesterday, my testimony was about the slip fee increases, and Executive Director Peter Douglas had said that this commission does not do anything with rent control. And I went home and I tried to I processed it and went and looked at the Coastal Act. And I don't know if you commissioners know, but in 10 separate separate documents, or within this overall document, it talks about affordability, the word affordable. And to me, you can't really say that you're not going to deal with rent control when you have so much of it dealing in the Coastal Act. When we talk about 50% increases and this harbor, which you're sitting in right now, and it trying to be affordable for all of our citizens, it's just a complete oxymoron for anybody to say that the Coastal Act doesn't provide for it, doesn't allow for you commissioners to deal with that, with this issue. We've got 50% reduction of boat slips, 50% increase in slip fees, and we've got a rampant black market. We've got a real problem here in Marina Del Rey. Our slips are almost double what they are in Long Beach, Ms. Lowenthal. They're almost double what they are in Santa Barbara. And here we are, we provide the blanket of security. The government provides a blanket of security to our developers. And within that, at some point, they say, well, you know what? We're not going to really deal with what the Department of Beaches and Harbor says, and we're not going to deal with what LA County says. Or they turned a blind eye. And the developers charge a maximum amount. And there is nothing there. There is no mechanism to go in and somehow get the developer to bring down the price or charge a reasonable rate. And that's what is really kind of scary here. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. There is a mechanism, we all know about it. When the supply is exhausted, those rates can go up astronomically. But on public land, it just doesn't make sense. There has to be some kind of mechanism. And unfortunately, it is you. It talks about it in the Coastal Act. The whole thing of the Coastal Act is about affordability and the citizens being able to afford the recreational the resources of California. This is what it's all about. At least that's what I get from this. Maybe you get something differently. We've got yacht brokers which are procuring slips by paying these dock masters envelopes of money, and all we're asking is some kind of intervention from this Coastal Commission to stop this from happening. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
If I may again, setting rents and rent control is not within the purview of the Coastal Commission. That's local government's authority and jurisdiction, unless, of course, Proposition 98 passes, which would ban rent control in California, so you might want to pay attention to that. But the Coastal Commission does not have the authority to deal with rent. Affordability, and as you're very aware of it, relative to housing, it's been made clear to us by certain members of the legislature that the commission shouldn't be dealing with affordability in terms of housing. But you deal with affordability in a number of ways. Yeah. Recreational resources, overnight accommodations, by the kind of facilities that are built and provided. You don't set the rates, but you do look at the kinds of facilities. So slip size is really the only way that we figure we can try to promote continued affordability and access to marine recreational opportunities. But setting the fees is not something we can do. That's really up to the county. and that's where the focus should be.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you could talk with Mr. Douglas there for a few minutes, and thank you. Anything else from staff for the commission?
No, since we haven't canceled June, we'll see you in Santa Rosa.
All right. And Commissioner Akajian, did you have a scheduling issue?
Very quickly, Madam Chair, I know this is only May, but in July we're looking forward to be your host. And hopefully with the cooperation of the staff, we'll work that Wednesday agenda is as light as possible. We have confirmation as where we want to entertain you and how we're going to entertain you. But time is of an essence, so I'll work as close as possible. And be sure that your stay is very comfortable and you'll have a good time.
And thank you. We appreciate your hospitality. All right. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you in June.